As a young adult, a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ as my personal Savior, I was deeply perplexed by messages preached about the last day events. I was profoundly frustrated because I wanted to be saved and receive the seal of God, but I had to live in uncertainty, as it was explained to me, because only at the end of time it will be clear if I made it or not. Salvation is a future event, they claimed. I was confused because on one side I believed that I am saved in Jesus Christ, but on the other side I had to wait for a seal of God to approve my salvation, and I had to wait till the end of probation time. My spiritual life was unbalanced and I lived in fear of the future. I was torn within me, even though I believed in God, because I had to wait till the time of the end for the final results. And of course, the time of the end, the time of probation, was painted with fearful and dreadful colors. It was a nightmare for me. Doubts about my future salvation caused many sleepless nights, keen feelings that I am lost, that probably even my present faith is in vain. Worse than that, I was told that at the very end of human history, I will live without any help, that I have to make it through the last day events on my own, even because the Holy Spirit will be taken from this earth. You know this quotation, that the Holy Spirit is gradually taken from the earth. This was always used. I was also told that even Jesus will leave us alone at the end, because he will cease to be our intercessor. By this upside down and mistaken thinking and reasoning, as I understand it today, I was robbed of the assurance and joy of salvation. I was scared of God, afraid of his judgment, feared the time of the event, of the end, concentrating on myself, my performance, my achievements, and live somehow what I would call in a spiritual schizophrenia. And maybe some of you can identify with my experience of the youth. My incertitude was built on three presuppositions. First, I will get the seal of God in relation to my salvation and redemption at the end of time. Second presupposition, the Holy Spirit will be taken from the earth, it means also from all believers. And third, at the very time of end, Jesus Christ will leave us on our own, because he will no longer be our intercessor in the time when the door of mercy will be closed. I have no time now to deal in depth with that three issues, but let me stress that all three items are myths in Adventism. They are not correct. All three issues are wrong. It's a wrong type of thinking. And probably during the time of discussion we can deal with some of these issues. Of course, there are always two extremes. One group of believers have too little assurance. It means no assurance of salvation, but frustration, trembling, fear, and schizophrenia. The other group has too much assurance. They sleep on the pillow of self-assurance and rejoice in cheap grace. Unfortunately, many people are not sure if they will be saved. They are perplexed because of these issues I mentioned. The last day's events bring them fear, and they do not know what to expect at the end, if they will be able to go through last day events victoriously or not, if they will be sealed with the seal of God or with the mark of the beast. I have to say and confess that I belonged earlier to this over-righteous and over-anxious group. What a relief it was for me when I read later on Paul's epistle to Ephesians. In two places, I read very comforting and encouraging messages concerning the seal of God, which helped me to victoriously get through my crisis of faith. Let me read this text to you. First, Ephesians chapter 1, verses 13 and 14. And you also were included in Christ When you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, having believed, you were marked with him, in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession to the praise of his glory. Well, let me read once again this verse 13. And you also were included in Christ when you heard the word of truth. This is the first. We heard the word of truth. What is it? The gospel of our salvation. Having believed, this is the second. We heard, then we believe. And what happened? You were marked with him in Jesus with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit. What a great message. Paul plainly states that in the moment when we give our life to Jesus and we believe in him, the Holy Spirit seals us, seals believers for the day of redemption. Unbelievable. He seals us right now when we believe. Amen. This clear statement brought a great relief to my troubled spirit. For the first time in my life, I clearly saw that I do not need to wait till the time of the end to be sealed by the seal of God, but that I am sealed already, right now, when I believe in Jesus, sealed or marked by the Holy Spirit. You know, the phrase, you were sealed, ephragistete in Greek, this form occurs only twice in the New Testament, only twice. And these two times are only in the book of Ephesians. And this verb, ephragistete, is an indicative aorist passive, second plural. It means it's aorist. You were sealed. Therefore, sealing by the Holy Spirit is seen by Paul as a past event, not future, but past event. It's aorist, okay? And therefore, believers in Christ were sealed by the Holy Spirit for the future events, for the day of redemption. Sealed already for the future. And then it is aorist passive. It means that sealing for us is a passive event. We cannot seal ourselves. Somebody else is doing it for us. It's a sealing of God. It's a sealing of the Holy Spirit. Therefore, the sequence is very clear for me. We have heard the word of truth. This is the gospel of salvation. Second, we have believed in God, in Jesus Christ. Third, we have been sealed by the Holy Spirit. And fourth, the Holy Spirit is given to us as a deposit. And I would like to tell something more about this, what we have in verse 14. What does it mean that the Holy Spirit is a deposit? It's also in Romans 8:23. The down payment, this deposit is a down payment of the inheritance we have in God. This down payment guarantees complete payment later on. Okay, 3 minutes. The Spirit is the first installment in our salvation and the guarantee that the full future inheritance will be delivered. This Greek word, arabon, is derived from Hebrew. And in Hebrew and also in Greek, the original meaning is really not a deposit, but is a pledge. The Holy Spirit is a pledge, okay, is a guarantor for the future events which will come. Is a pledge from the part of God. Also, 2 Corinthians 1:22 and 2 Corinthians 5:5 speaks about the Holy Spirit as a pledge, as a guarantee or guarantor or deposit. I will read only 2 Corinthians 1:21 and 22. Now it is God who makes both us and you stand firm in Christ. He anointed us, set his seal of ownership on us, and put his Spirit in our hearts as a deposit, guaranteeing what is to come. It's a beautiful, beautiful gospel. Therefore, the possession is seen as God's possession of us, of his people, not that we are possessing salvation. It means that the whole structure here is a theocentric, not anthropocentric. This is not that we are now possessing salvation, but the God of salvation is possessing us. Therefore, Holy Spirit is this guarantor of our inheritance, that we will fully, at the end, belong to Jesus Christ. Let me quickly go to the second verse. It means Ephesians chapter 4, now verse 30. Ephesians 4:30. Again, about the sealing. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. You see, you were sealed again, the past event, but sealed for the day of redemption. Therefore, you have all the time God's grace here, but all the time also the assurance of salvation, that it is His work in us, not our achievement. Let me also say to you that this is great that in two places in the book of Ephesians we have this statement about that we were sealed by the Holy Spirit. The whole book is divided in two parts, 1 to 3 and 4 to 6. The first part is a dogmatical part or theological, where Paul is explaining that we are saved in Jesus and sealed by the Holy Spirit. And the second part is like the exhortation, is the ethic, okay? How we should behave. And it's the ethical part, again, everything what we are doing is sealed by the Spirit if we are led by the Spirit. Therefore, what does it mean? Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. First of all, I would say this. We are exhorted not to grieve the Holy Spirit. It means to stay in a right relationship with Holy Spirit. Every time. Not to grieve. Stay in the right relationship. Why live contrary to Him whose ownership seal we were, and in violation of our eternal destiny? In other words, we need not only to get married with Jesus, but to stay married to Him. The Holy Spirit has sealed us for the day of redemption. And now, last question. 1 minute, all right. Is it in contradiction with the book of Revelation that at the end there is this seal of God and mark of the beast? I don't believe that it is in contradiction. Very quickly. Only when you have this seal of God, this seal, I would say, the seal of the gospel, the seal of salvation, when we were talking about from the book of Ephesians, then you can, and only then you can receive the apocalyptic seal of God. Only when you have the seal of salvation, when you believe in God, then you can also at the end receive this apocalyptic seal of God. And this apocalyptic seal of God is not the another stamp of salvation. From my perspective, and we can discuss that later, it's a seal of protection from the last seven plagues, from the wrath of God which is poured out. Has nothing to do with the salvation of that sense we have in the book of Ephesians. And of course, it's not only seal of protection from the seven last plagues, but it is also seal of experience of walking with God. And when we have this seal of experience there, this is like the continuation, that we were not grieving the Holy Spirit, we were living in harmony with Him. Therefore, from the very beginning till the end, the salvation is God's. One paragraph more. to have the whole picture here. 10 minutes are very fast.
This is your idea, Jerzy.
I know. It's now playing against me. this is the one. All three presuppositions I mentioned in the beginning are completely wrong. It's a myth in Adventism. The seal of God is given not at the end, but in the moment when we believe in Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit is not gradually taken from this earth in the sense that also from the believers. The statements are very clear that it is only taken from the unbelievers in order that the Holy Spirit could stay even more with those who are in harmony with Jesus, who are working with Him. Therefore, it's like sealing even more those who are in Jesus. And there are here experts for the spirit of prophecy. They can either deny that or confirm, but I am so sure because I studied quite carefully. And in the Bible, we have the same, like 10 virgins, the oil till and the end. Oil as a symbol of the Holy Spirit. And also the third presupposition that Jesus Christ will no longer be our intercessor and leave us therefore alone is also a myth. Because even though it is true that Jesus Christ will be no more in the function of intercessor for us, it does not mean that he will abandon us. He will still with us, with his power, with his grace. John 5:5 is very clear. Without me, you cannot do anything. And the last sentence, the whole setting in Ephesians 1:13-14 about sealing is in the big session about praising the Lord. It's a section we call doxology. Therefore, when we speak about salvation, when we speak about sealing by the Spirit, this is the reason to praise the Lord, because salvation is here. It is His seal, not ours. It is His work, not ours. Praise the Lord for that.
We'll take one question, and that's from Dr. Canale here at the back.
How would you differentiate what you just described with the assurance of salvation that we hear the Protestants preach?
Well, it's of course very broad question, but one thing I would say is that in Protestantism, very often we can speak about what Dietrich Bonhoeffer will call cheap grace, that you have not this salvation brought into the ethical imperatives which we have also as a part of the gospel. Therefore, it's like one-sided gospel, from my understanding. You believe in Jesus, you say glory, hallelujah to God, which is all right, but then it's the second part. It's not only chapter 1 to 3, but also 4 to 6, where do not grieve the Holy Spirit. It means live in harmony with Him, stay in close relationship with Him, and this is what I would... Pardon me?
The seal can be broken in your way.
Yes, yes, this is the point. That's, this is not once saved, always saved theology, but if you can grieve the Holy Spirit, you can even broke the seal. Okay. Exactly, this is like the final stamp, but maybe in... because it was only one possibility here. In the question and answer, I would be happy to answer that issue here. All right. Thank you.